I'm a recovering addict. My name is Sammy. First thing first, I want to thank God for another day clean. And second, I want to thank God for waking up this morning, because a lot of people didn't wake up this morning. The cause now is worse, we do recover. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to come share my experience of hope on this topic. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And that's always been a good topic for me. Because one of the things I learned about this program, and I thank God for the keep coming back process, is that when I got here, I didn't have no experiences about life. And through the process of recovery and learning from my childhood growing up, and I came from a very good childhood, my mother, and I'm sure a lot of y'all can identify with this, my mother was my first sponsor. And she was a good sponsor. She was a teacher. And she was a tough lady. She was a business lady. She had her own business in the Boogie Down Bronx. So my mother was a good teacher, but I was very hard-headed being an only child and being a mama's boy. My mother told me in active addiction, if you don't listen to me one day, you have to listen to somebody else. And one of the things I learned about who I had to listen to, and I'm not going to dwell obsessively on war stories, because the literature talks about in the group pamphlet, it's not necessary to dwell obsessively. I'm going to stop right there for a second. If you look up the word obsessively, it means too much. I'm not impressed with, listen, I'm not here to knock nobody. I'm not impressed with your war stories. Because I've been clean, right, for 25 years. So my experiences, right, is so important for me on this journey, because I'm going to read the rest of the paragraph. It says it's not necessary to dwell obsessively on war stories, because we all know what it's like to use drugs. So after coming to the Kaznamis and realizing, like the legend talks about, the legend says, what we know about living almost killed us. And also, the legend talks about also, it says after coming to NA. It don't say before. It says after coming to NA, we realized we were sick people. Because when I got here, I had some issues I had to address. Because my question is, and let this marinate for a second, after the drugs is gone, now what? My experiences to that question is life. So not coming here, not having no life experiences, I was going to face some rough roads, because I was inexperienced about living life a day at a time. So I'm grateful through sponsorship. See, I had to watch and listen for a sponsor. I may raise some spirits up in my sharing, because sponsorship is so important and it's so critical. My experience is that everybody ain't sponsorship material. Why do I say that? The reason why everybody's not sponsorship material, because the topic talks about when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Because two things. How are you going to be a sponsor when you're stepless? And not only that, if you go to the old pamphlet on sponsorship, it talks about you want a sponsor who's reasonably happy. I didn't want no sponsor who's gloomy and doomy. Ain't never happy, ain't never smiling. God didn't get me clean to be miserable. Even though I came into recovery morbidly serious, but I wanted to loosen up and not be so tight all the time, because there's four things I'm allergic to in recovery. The first thing I'm allergic to is drugs. I hate drugs. The second thing I'm allergic to is cigarettes. I hate cigarettes. The third thing I'm allergic to is miserable people. And the fourth thing I'm allergic to is bullshit. See, when I got here, I had no limitations and boundaries. So I had to learn, and we're talking about this topic, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I'm going to read something out of just for today pertaining to this topic. Now, I want y'all to listen up very carefully what I'm about to share with y'all. It says the School of Recovery. This is a program for learning. Learning and recovery is hard work. The things we most need to know are often the hardest to learn. We study recovery to prepare ourselves for the experiences life will give us. As we listen to others share in meetings, we take mental notes we can refer to later. To be prepared, we study our notes and literature between lessons. Just as students have the opportunity to apply their knowledge during tests, so do we have the opportunity to apply our recovery during times of crisis. Too much noise going on, man. Sidetracking. As always, we have a choice in how we approach life challenges. We can dread and avoid them as threats to our serenity, or we can be gratefully accept them as opportunities for growth. By confirming the principles we learn in recovery, life challenges give us increased strength. Without such challenges, however, we could forget what we learn and begin to stagnate. These are the opportunities that prone us to new spiritual awakenings. We find that there is often a period of rest after each crisis, giving us time to accustom to our new skills. Once we reflect on our experiences, we are called on to share our knowledge with someone who is studying recovery and what they just learned. In the School of Recovery, all of us are teachers as well as students. I will be a student of recovery. I will welcome challenges, confident in what I learn, and eager to share it with others. My experiences in recovery is that you're right where you at for the amount of work you've done. I'm going to say it again. You are right where you at for the amount of work you've done. Now I understand the literature says in the sixth step, you're right where you're supposed to be. But I'm taking it to another level now. I'm going to say it again. You're right where you at for the amount of work you've done. See, my slogan in recovery is, you do's nothing, you get's nothing. See, one of the things about the Keep Coming Back process, when I got here, I jumped in right away. I didn't waste no time because my life was at stake. And going through the experiences of this journey a day at a time, I used drugs for 14 years. And I've been clean for 25 years. So I've been clean longer than I used drugs. The point I'm trying to share with y'all is that I got more war stories clean compared to active addiction. So if you go to the Journey Continues book, it talks about there's a difference between a user story and a recovery story. So I have more of a recovery story because of my war stories clean compared to active addiction. So I had to go through some life challenges. The key word, go through. If you don't go through anything, you can't increase your strength and build character, because character not only builds character, character also will reveal character. So when you go through things in life, it will reveal what kind of strength you have, because everybody can't deal with pressure when it comes. So the experiences that I studied when I got here, my sponsor was literature orientated. So my sponsor shared with me the importance of reading literature. Listen, it'd be a disservice to be in a Cosnomus and don't read the literature. Why do I say that? Because the second step lets me know there's a warning sign in the basic text. It says if we go over the second step with a minimum concern, the rest of the steps don't work. So the literature also says in the second step of the Worst Time Wild book, it don't say addicts. It says people. People live, tend to live what they believe. So my belief system was faulty when I got here. Now the word faulty means defective. So when I share, right, it's okay to be a teacher because we gain knowledge by listening. Because there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. See, knowledge, right, is when you read the literature and read books and you gather information. Wisdom is going through the experiences and going through things in life and how you get on the other side without using drugs. But sometimes, right, listen, you can put down the drugs and you find out how crazy you really is. I seen people go to the psych ward because emotionally they was retarded because they couldn't deal with their emotions. Because one of the things about the literature, right, the literature says, and also hear people say, it's in the basic text, that this is a three-part disease. Now, if you go to the first step in the Step Reckoning Guide book, it says it's a four-part disease: mental, spiritual, physical, and emotional. So if I don't address the emotional piece about who I am, I'm going to face a rough road, because it's a terrible thing to be clean and be undiagnosed. See, when you're undiagnosed, what happens is you be jumped out of bushes and molesting yourself and raping yourself, because you can't see yourself coming. So if I don't see myself coming, especially when I get to relationships with people, and I'm not necessarily talking about romantic relationships, I'm also talking about different types of relationships. I'm talking about friendship. Because I had to learn through the process of recovery, after going through some crisis in the fellowship of the College of Anonymous, where I got my notes and I studied, I paid attention, I listened to people around my recovery, and with 25 years, I still listen with an active ear. Because I don't play with the disease of addiction. I had to come in here and study. This is very important. I had to come in here and study and learn the disease of addiction. Because there's a difference between drug addiction and the disease of addiction. Now, I had to address the drug addiction when I got here, but after being here now for some years now, through the 12 steps on the College Anonymous, I had to come in here and address the disease of addiction, how it would manifest. It would manifest itself in the rise of obsession and compulsion that have nothing to do with drugs. So if I don't address the disease of addiction, it will rape me to the point where I'm thinking I know who I am, but actually, right, I'm still untreated with a dead disease called addiction. So if I don't treat my disease to the 12 steps in the College Anonymous and going through some experiences dealing with life, I'm going to face a rough road clean. My mother passed away when I had 5 years clean. I said I was the only child. That was the turning point of my life and also my personal recovery. See, the triangle self-obsession talks about the bottom paragraph. Listen, all of us is growing old in the fellowship of the College Anonymous. However, everybody's not growing up. So when I talk about growing up, if you go to the triangle self-obsession, the bottom paragraph, it says we must grow up or die. And I say die, I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about dying slowly, slowly, of a spiritual death clean. You know what's going to be spiritually constipated? Constipation means you're backed up. So imagine being spiritually backed up. I was caught up in a triangle of self-obsession with 5 years clean. I was caught up in resentments, anger, and fear. That makes up the defects that we talk about in the sixth step. My mother's gone now. What you gonna do now, Mr. Recovery Man? The little boy had to grow up. I had to get with some people in the fellowship who had, listen. I say this all the time. It's important for me to do an inventory of the people who I surround myself with. It's important for me to be around people in my recovery. I'm not gonna say who was smarter than me, because disease is not oppressed with your intellectual. I'm gonna say people who's more mature than I was, who had more life experiences than I had. So I buried my mother on a Tuesday morning, and my home group was on a Tuesday night. Thank God for that. My sponsor said, get to the meeting at 5:30. I got there at 5 o'clock. See, literature talks about, you do not have to understand this program. All you got to do is follow directions. And I followed directions from my sponsor because I had no experiences of my life. I got there early to the meeting, my home group got there. There was a brother there before me. He was talking to somebody else. And he told the guy, I need to talk to this brother who buried his mother this morning. So when he did, he started sharing his personal experiences with me, not opinion or theory. He said to me, my mother died 2 years ago. If I can stay clean, so can you. He gave me a hope shot. And because I got to my home group early, I had a foundation, and I sat in the ICU, which we call intensive care. I took my only burning desire with 5 years clean on this journey. And I told my home group members, I will not live without my mother. What you going to do now, Mr. Recovery Man? You going to use drugs, or you going to stay clean and go through the challenges of life. And I was reading the literature. I was in the process of working at H-Step at the time. I was in the process of grieving, but thank God for the fellowship. I had to rely on the fellowship many times during my recovery to get through some things. See, I'm grateful because one of the things I learned in the process of recovery, you're going to find out who you are when tough times come. Because if I don't have a clue who I am, see, the fourth step in the Start Working God book talks about this. The question that gets my attention. It says, how can you like yourself? We don't know who you are. Tell them again. Listen, it's a terrible thing to be clean and don't like yourself. Because when you don't like yourself, what happens is when you get relationships with people, you're going to put yourself on the back burner and God on the back burner because your priorities are not in order. And see, if you go to the first step, it says we're meant to God, to ourselves, and to another human being. So if I don't admit anything right to one human being, if I'm not getting the help that I need, I can't get to the exact natures of my wrongs because I'm still undiagnosed. I have no information. I have no knowledge because I haven't studied and learned the literature for me to deal with life challenges in the real world out there. So having this information with 5 years clean was a big help. I was still immature and I had no experiences. But thank God for the fellowship. My sponsor was a big help for me. He was not my loan shark. He was not my marriage counselor. He shared his experience with me. See, I have a problem. I have a problem with sponsors want to tell sponsees how to live. It's called dictatorship. We don't dictate to people how to live outside of the cosmos. We don't tell people how to live. It's important for me to get my own experiences about life. So I had to continue to study and learn the disease of addiction. And the disease of addiction has manifested itself with me with sex and money. Sex and money. Sex and money. Sex and money. See, I know who I am today. I can see myself coming. I can see my defects and my shortcomings coming. So after experiencing the death of my mother, my disease took off. I was looking for a physical solution to a spiritual problem. And after addiction, I was getting no sex. And I had a lot of men go around talk about sex and drugs went hand in hand. I beg to differ with that. Because when I smoked crack, my penis wasn't getting hard. So I rationalized and justified with 5 years clean, it's time for me to make up the loss I was getting after addiction. I was using women in the fellowship to fill that void. I was looking for a material solution to a spiritual problem. The void was so empty on the inside. That's why the second step is so important. And I wasn't filling that void with God. I was filling that void with people, places, and things. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. I went to an anniversary in the Bronx, and I got to the meet late. And I'm looking around the meeting. And there were 5 women I was having sex with. Plus, my newcomer one was there, too. And I was the last speaker at the anniversary. I get up there to share. I said, my name is Sammy. I'm an addict. Kathy, congratulations on your 5 years. And thank you for letting me share. I could not share a message of hope. You know why? Because I wasn't living right. My newcomer woman had 90 years clean. I had 5 years clean. She says to me, I ain't never heard you share for less than 1 minute. I told her, you worry about your little 98s clean. And she gonna tell me we're gonna have a talk when we get home. I said, we're gonna have no talk. Or we're gonna have some sex when we get home. My sponsor was there, he's an old dope fiend. He said, bring your ass over here. We need to have a talk. He told me, you need to get to the exact natures of your wrongs. I couldn't identify the exact nature of my wrongs at the time, because anything that smells good, feels good, and tastes good, you're not going to be in denial. You're going to be refusal. Yeah, yeah. So I refused to admit the truth, because it was feeling so good. Yeah. And I found out after doing some work with sponsor and studying the literature, often hear people say this, because a lot of people remember things in the fellowship. A lot of people always say the core of our disease is self-centeredness. Our literature does not say that. That's why it's important to study and learn the literature and study and learn your disease and do the whole work. The core of our disease is self-obsession. Now, the fourth step says in the Works of the Wild book, our experiences tell us that the root of our disease is self-centered fear. So, self-centered fear, which I was caught up in with Five Gets Clean, it was raped for me at the time, because it's a difference between being in paralyzing fear and having healthy fear. See, when you caught up in paralyzing fear, you're going to be stuck like a rat stuck on a glue trap. So when it's time for you to make a decision, you have that made that decision like the third step talked about, because you're still stuck in that paralyzing fear because you're afraid, because your faith hasn't moved. You're still misplacing your faith. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You talk to a person on the phone for an interview for a job. And a man says, I want you to be here at 9 o'clock on Friday morning. When Friday morning gets here at 9 o'clock, you're still in your bed because you haven't had the confidence and faith to go to that interview. You say you made a decision on Monday. Friday's here. You haven't acted out on any type of action to make a decision to go to that interview for you to get a job. See, the third step says, if you want a job, if you want recovery, or education, you got to make an effort to get it. Yes. See, God ain't going to help you unless you help yourself. That's why I read to y'all, and I want y'all to get a glimpse of what I read in the Just for the Day book. This is a program of schooling. The Journey Continue book talks about this is a program of education. So if I don't come here and get the information, if I hear somebody share about the death of their mother, and when my turn comes, if I was paying attention and listening to that brother whose mother passed away, I can go to that person and get the information and experiences that he has, because I was paying attention and I was taking mental notes, and that helped me relieve the pain a little bit, not a whole lot. You can work the steps. It don't necessarily mean that all the pain is going to be gone when a crisis comes. But it relieves the pain to a certain degree, especially if you're spiritually fit. When the time comes, the pain is not going to be so great, especially in a relationship where a person changed their mind. Because I see people, not just in the fellowship, I see people in society commit suicide over a relationship and marriage because they made that person their higher power. Boy, let me share some with y'all. I had to learn, and I thank God for the 12 steps and the Kostamis and to the spiritual principles contained in the 12 steps, because there's a difference between conversation and application. So I had to start applying the application when tough times come, when it came to relationships, because it's a terrible thing to be clean, right? And you're in a relationship and you made that person your higher power. Now ask yourself this question. In a relationship, are you worshiping your mate? Or are you worshiping the God of your understanding? Because if my priorities are not in order, that person I'm going to worship because I got God on the back burner, because the fifth step helps me get my priorities in order. So many times in my recovery, I put a woman before God because I was looking for a physical solution to a spiritual problem. But thank God for sponsorship, because I learned through the 12 steps of the Kostamis. And I don't hear this too much in the fellowship and also in society. I'm responsible for my own happiness. If you expect a person to make you happy, you are for a bruising. That's why in a chapter called Recovery and Relapse, it says when we place unrealistic expectations on a person, it leads to resentment, anger, and fear. So I had to learn through my experiences to start liking Sammy more often. Because when you start liking yourself and you start to learn how to be comfortable in your own skin, because your relationship with God has gotten tight now, because you're going through some crisis, and when tough times come, you have to look for somebody on the outside to make yourself feel good. Because when you start feeling good, you start to be attracted to yourself. And when you start to be attracted to yourself, you start to learn that you're comfortable in your own skin because God got your back, because you haven't misplaced your faith and your trust. Because one of the things about the keep coming back process, more will be revealed. And my experience of being here, when you start to be attracted to yourself, it's great freedom to have. Because we always talk about freedom from active addiction. It's in the literature. Let me share some with y'all. I'm talking about my character now. Because we don't talk about enough hope sometimes in the fellowship. When you start building character, and you take notes, you study, and you learn the disease of addiction so you can see yourself coming, what happens is change doesn't come about. I'm going to say it again. Change doesn't come about. But what happens is we talk about now the transformation that happens when you start applying the 12 steps and all your fears, and people look at you and say to yourself, damn, you look good. I can see the transformation in your life. I have a great paying job. And I struggled with jobs over the years. I struggled with financial difficulty over the years. But I stayed in position because I know that good things was coming to me because I was putting the footwork in. So I work in Midtown Manhattan. And I'm in contact with millionaires and billionaires. And they be telling me on the job, you look very good today. I go to work with my pretty blue suits on, my pretty black suits on, my pretty ties on. I got millionaires telling me on the job, it's a pleasure for you to be working here. Now, my birthday was March 6th. I just made 54 years old. And I feel good and I look good. And I don't need your permission. I say I'm giving y'all some hope. I know who I am today because of the work I did on myself. And having permission for myself and being responsible for my own happiness, it's a wonderful feeling after you struggle and you got on the other side and you have to share it with the group, right? Because the group is a powerful vehicle for carrying this message. It's a great feeling when you can share that you're doing great right now. But what happens is you can be doing great in certain areas, but you're still struggling in that one area. And then you have a tendency to beat yourself up sometimes. And then it leads to self-pity and self-loathing. But you know that, like the 10th step talks about, you're doing better than what you're feeling. I thank God for the character building program of the Kaisonomics, man. I ain't the same person I was 25 years ago. I ain't the same person I was last year. Because life takes on a different meaning. So my message should be changing and my life should be changing. So I'm happy, joyous, and free. Not only have freedom from active addiction, I also have freedom from self-bondage. Self-bondage, a self-made prison. Because you can be locked up emotionally, mentally, and spiritually and don't even know it. So today, I'm not locked up in my mind today. I'm happy, I'm joyous, and I'm free. I am happy about the whole goddamn thing. I came down to Ocean City to have fun. And the rest of the day, I'm going to have a lot of fun and enjoy myself through the process of this weekend. So if I help somebody, give it to the God my understanding. If I didn't help nobody, you could blame me. I got a 6-step in my life. I can set personal responsibilities for my actions today. Thank you for listening.